Okay, good evening. Welcome back to the Shir on Shmuel Aleph. Tonight's Shir is being sponsored by Millie and Aaron Sway to commemorate the yahrzeit of Aaron's father, Shaul ben Yitzchak, Zichrono Livracha. His neshama should have an aliyah, and thank you for your sponsorship. Okay, so last week we did not learn. So the last time we learned was 2 weeks ago. But we're in Perek Yudalad of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. And just to recap what we learned last week, so it was very interesting. We know that Yonah's son, Shaul's son, was the one who really started this whole problem with the Plishtim by originally killing this Plishti general or this Plishti governor or whatever the case might be. And then last week we learned about this secret escapade with Yonah's son and his servant, his young servant. And essentially they went, at first the Navi describes that they just went to just to check things out and see, you know, what was going on with the Plishti camp. And then Yonah's son was overcome with this Ruach Elokim, with this spirit of Hashem. And he decided to establish a certain sign to see if he and his nar would be successful fighting this camp alone. And he established the sign. He thought that they would be successful. And therefore they went in, they scared them. And there's this pandemonium breaks out in the Plishti camp. They don't know what's going on. They think it's a whole army attacking them. Meanwhile, of course, it's only two people. And we left off Pasuk Tes Zayin that Shaul, the people, the watchmen who are watching out from Shaul's camp, see that the Plishti camp is in disarray and is in absolute panic and pandemonium. And they come and they inform Shaul. Okay, so we're picking up with Pasuk Yud Zayin. Now it's a very long parak. It's like 52 psukim. So we're going to do another third tonight, and then hopefully we'll finish next week. Yemir Tzashem, I don't think we're going to have time to finish tonight. So Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayomer Shaul La'am Asher Ito. So Shaul says to the people that are with him, you know, he's kind of confused. What's happening? You know, he was camped here with his men. Nobody, to the best of his knowledge, nobody attacked the Plishtim. So why is there pandemonium and panic in the Plishti camp? And he said, maybe some soldiers went there and they attacked. So he tells the people that are with him, "Pikdu na ureu mi halach me'imanu." He says, "I want you to do a count and figure out who's not here, right? Who left? Who left from among us and went to the Plishtim to attack them?" Vayifkedu v'hine ein Yonasan v'nosei Kalev. So they do a count. And everyone is accounted for with the exception of Yonah's son and Nosei Kalev. Nosei Kalev is his servant, his arms bearer. Pasuk Yud Ches. Now, so Shaul is kind of confused by this whole thing. What's going on over here? There's only two people missing, Yonah's son and his arms bearer. And there's absolute chaos in the Plishti camp. What's going on? Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayomer Shaul Achia. So Shaul turns to Achia. Achia was the Kohen at the time, maybe the Kohen Gadol even at the time, and he tells him, "Hagisha Aron HaElokim," which sounds like, "Bring me the Aron, bring me the Aron." Ki haya Aron HaElokim bayom ahu uvnei Yisrael, because the Aron was with him and Bnei Yisrael at that time. Now the Mefarshim point out here that exactly the Mefarshim point out that Shaul was not really looking for the Aron. He was really looking for the Urim V'Tumim. He was really looking for the Urim V'Tumim, which was the special breastplate that the Kohen Gadol wore and had these the parchments inside, and they would illuminate the stones, and they would inform the kings, you know, what to do. Why does it talk about the Aron? So the Mefarshim say because the Urim V'Tumim were kept with the Aron. So the Aron was with Bnei Yisrael. There was no set place for the Aron. In fact, the Malbim says that since, you know, once Shiloh was no longer being used as the place where the Mishkan was, So now the Aron just traveled with Bnei Yisrael. Wherever they went, the Aron went. So here Shaul is camped, and the Aron is with him. But he's really looking for the Urim V'Tumim to try to get some insight as to what's going on. Now, the Radak says he just wants to know, where's Yonasan? Right? He wanted to ask the Urim V'Tumim, where's Yonasan? And, you know, and try to figure out what's happening. The Malbim... I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. We don't know. Yeah. Right. But I get, you know, I guess to consult with Urim V'Tumim is pretty good. According to the Malbim, you know, Shaul figured that Yonasan and his arms bearer were probably the ones that were causing all the panic in the Plishti camp. And he was just very confused. How could that be? How could it be that only two people are creating such pandemonium among thousands and thousands of Plishti soldiers? So he wanted to consult the Urim V'Tumim, not according to the Malbim to find out where Yonasan was. He assumed Yonasan was over there with the Plishti. What he wanted to figure out is what's going on. How is it possible that Yonasan and his arms bearer are able to create such chaos? So that's what he wanted. He wanted the Urim V'Tumim. Now, Pasuk Yutes, Vayihi Adiber Shaul El HaKohen, as Shaul is talking to the Kohen, V'hehamon Asher B'machane Plishtim, there's even more chaos and panic and pandemonium in the camp of the Plishtim. Vayelech Haloch V'Rav, and it's increasing and it's getting even more out of hand. Vayomer Shaul el haKohen esof yadecha. So Shaul turns to the Kohen and he says, forget it. Put away the Urim V'Tumim. The Kohen had not yet responded with the Urim V'Tumim. Forget it. Put away the Urim V'Tumim. The way the Radak says it is that we have to go to battle now. In other words, it's so clear, we don't even need the Urim V'Tumim. It's so clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us because of this panic and this pandemonium in the Plishti camp. It's so clear that Hashem is with us that we don't even need to ask the Urim V'Tumim. Let's just go to battle. Forget it. Forget the Urim V'Tumim. And that says the Mitzvah HaStava, we don't have time to ask the Urim V'Tumim. Right? We got to go. There's a battle that has to be fought. We don't even have time to get to the Urim V'Tumim. And the Malbim says that, you know, he smelled victory already. They hadn't even gotten there yet. Shaul and his army hadn't even gotten there yet. And he already smelled victory. He heard, you know, the sounds of the Plishti camp being defeated. And he said, forget it. You know, put away the Urim V'Tumim and let's just go. But I guess, right. So I guess he turns to the Kohen again and he just tells him, listen, I know I told you to take out the Urim V'Tumim, but just put it away. We don't need it right now. We're just going to go. We're just going to go to battle. No, just put it away. He turns back to him. Now, some of the Mefarshim, I saw quoted that some of the Mefarshim do take Shaul to task here, that Shaul was being a little bit impatient. Right? That we find this impatience a little bit with Shaul. Remember, the first time he got into trouble, he was supposed to wait for Shmuel, and he was a little bit impatient, and he went ahead and he did something. You know, he brought the carbonos, you know, beforehand. So, you know, so that was a little bit impatient. So some of the Mefarshim say that here too, Shaul is being a little bit impatient. And he should have really maybe asked the Urim V'Tumim. You know, he should not have told the Kohen just to forget about it. He should have asked him. So some take Shaul to task for this. It's not clear in the Psukim, and in most of the Mefarshim, it's not clear that Shaul did anything wrong here, but some of the Mefarshim do understand that that Shaul here made a mistake and he was being a little bit impatient. Okay. Pasuk Chaf. Vayizaeik Shaul v'chol ha'am asher ito. So Shaul gathers the nation that's with him, right? We know we've seen many times that the language of Vayizaeik means that he gathered, right? They used to cry out and gather the troops. Vayavo'u ad ha-milchama. So they went. Shaul and his men went towards the battle. It wasn't much of a battle. It was, you know, Yonasan and his bearer of arms causing all the problems here, but they got to the battle. And the Pasuk says that things were so bad in the Plishti camp that people, the Plishtim, started killing each other because there was such panic that they thought they were killing Bnei Yisrael. They thought, you know, Bnei Yisrael had attacked them. So they're, you know, they're swinging their swords. And meanwhile, there's nobody there. It's only Yonasan and his bearer of arms. And they're killing each other. They're killing each other. Says the Malbim that this is one of the main reasons why Shaul was so victorious here. Because the Plishtim were helping him out. They were killing their own, right? They were killing their own people. Pasuk Chav Aleph. V'ha'ivrim hayu la'plishtim ke'esmol shilshom. Now there were some Ivrim, and it's interesting here that the Pasuk refers to them as Ivrim. Ivrim is, of course, a word for Jews, you know, for Hebrews, but it's not usually the word that's used by the Navi to refer to Bnei Yisrael. So, and we found that we had it before also, right? We had it before. So we'll take a look at that in a minute. But the Pasuk says that the Ivrim, that the Jews, the Bnei Yisrael, that were Hayu La Plishtim, that were allied with the Plishtim, Ke'esmol Shilshom, in the past, right? In the past, there was a group of Jews that was allied with the Plishtim. Asher Olu Imam Bamachane Saviv, and these Bnei Yisrael, these Ivrim, would come around the camp of the Plishtim. They would camp with the Plishtim. V'gam Hema Lihios Im Yisrael Asher Im Shol V'Yonasan. But these Bnei Yisrael, they now turned on the Plishtim, and they joined Shaul and his camp. They joined Shaul and Yonasan to fight against the Plishtim. So what are we talking about here? So if you look back for a minute at Perek Yud Gimel, yes, so Pasuk Zayin does mention it. But if you look even earlier, yeah, you'll find in Pasuk Gimel, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, that right after Yonasan attacks the governor of the Plishtim, so the Pasuk says that Shaul blew the shofar right throughout the land, and he says, Yishmeu ha'ivrim, that the Ivrim should hear, that the Ivrim should hear. Right, and again in Pasuk Zayin there also, as Aaron pointed out, we have also here Ve'ivrim avrues hayardein eretz god ve'gilad, that the Ivrim left. So the Mefarshim assume that this group of Ivrim that we're talking about here was actually a group of Jews that lived in the Plishti lands. Right, they lived really with the Plishtim, and and they were forced to ally themselves with the Plishtim. They didn't have a choice. So they lived in the Plishti lands. That's where they lived. And in fact, what the Pasuk says here, which is fascinating, Asher Olu Imam Bamachane Saviv, they actually used to join the battles against Bnei Yisrael. These were almost like the Misyavnim, right? They joined the Plishtim. And whenever the Plishtim used to go to battle against the Jewish people, these Jews felt compelled to join them, and they joined them, says the Radak, b'machane saviv. They would go at the edge of the camp. They didn't really want to fight. They didn't want to fight other Jews. Yeah.
So they lived with them.
With the Plishtim. Uh-huh. Yeah, the Plishtim lived like all the way to the west, you know, like near Gaza, I think. That's where the Plishtim were. So, but here says the Radak, these were Jews that felt compelled. They had to ally themselves with the Plishtim. And they even went to battle against the other Bnei Yisrael, but they didn't really want to fight. So they stood, you know, they kind of stayed on the edge of the camps, edge of the battle. But now these Jews turned on the Plishtim, right? The Jews that had been with the Plishtim all these years, they turned against the Plishtim, and they went and fought against the Plishtim. Okay, so we have a second reason, says the Malbim, why Shaul's being successful. Number one, the Plishtim are killing each other. Number two, we have a whole group of Bnei Yisrael that usually are allied with the Plishtim that are now attacking the Plishtim. And now Chav Beis, B'chol Ish Yisrael Hamischabim B'har Ephraim, Shamu Kinosu Plishtim. There were also many Jews in hiding at this time. many Jews that were hiding in the mountains of Ephraim. And those Jews that were hiding in the mountains of Ephraim heard Kinosu Plishtim. They heard that the Plishtim had fled, right? That the Plishtim were being defeated. Vayadbiku, Vayadbiku gam hema achareim bamilchama. And they too joined the fight, right? So everybody's joining the fight now. The Jews that were allied with the Plishtim are joining the fight. The Jews that had been hiding for years, you know, afraid of the Plishtim, were now joining the fight. If you look back in Perek Yud Gimel, so you see also in Pasuk Vav, what this is referring to. Pasuk Vav says, "Ve'ish Yisrael ro ki tzar lo ki nigash, I'm sorry, ha'am." The people saw that the Plishtim were oppressing the Jewish people. That the Jews went into hiding. There was a whole group of Jews that went into hiding. So that's what we're referring to here. That's the group of Jews that we're referring to here, that they went into hiding. And they came out of hiding and attacked the Plishtim, joined the fray. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayosha Hashem Bayom Hahu Es Yisrael. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Bnei Yisrael that day. This was obviously a miraculous victory, because really it started out with just two people, right? Yonasan and his arms bearer, you know, scaring the Plishtim, and the Plishtim essentially just crumbled and self-destructed. And then, you know, Shaul joined, and his army, and all the Jews in hiding, and all the Jews that were allied joined. So everybody joined. But this was really Vayosha Hashem. This was really a divine battle, a divine salvation. Milchama Avra is based oven, and the battle went all the way, all the way past base oven, right? Meaning it for a long distance, this took place, that the Plishtim were fleeing and running. Pasuk Chav Dalet. The Ish Yisrael Nigas Bayom Hahu. That's a very interesting part here of the Perek. So the Bnei Yisrael are Nigas. Now, what's Nigas? So Nigas, according to some of the Mefarshim, means that they approached, right? Meaning, like the Metsudas David says, like we just said, the ones that were hiding, until now they were hiding, now they approached in battle. Now they came. They approached the Plishtim to fight them. But some of the Mefarshim understand that Nigas, and the Malbim says this in, you know, specifically, that Nigas means that these soldiers were not fighting out of dedication and passion. You know, sometimes you have soldiers who fight because they believe in the cause, right? They believe in the cause. It's patriotism, nationalism, whatever the case might be, but they believe in the cause. They're passionate. They're dedicated to the motherland, and that's why they fight. Says the Malbim, that's not why these soldiers were fighting. These soldiers were essentially forced into battle by Shaul. They didn't really feel so passionate about this. Shaul, you know, kind of pressured them to go into battle. That's Nigas, right? They were pressured. So says the Malbim, so what's going to happen? The first moment they have to stop fighting, they're going to stop. They're only fighting because they have to. They're only fighting because, you know, Shaul pressured them. But as soon as they can stop fighting, they're going to stop. They're going to rest. They're going to eat. They're going to enjoy themselves, right? They're soldiers. No, but they didn't want to fight. So now Shaul sees this. He doesn't want them to let up, because he wants to defeat the Plishtim. He wants to, you know, to put an end to the Plishtim. So Vayoel Shaul es ha'am le'mor. So Shaul makes an oath. Vayoel is the language of an oath. Shaul makes an oath. And he says, Arur ha'ish asher yochal lechem ad ha'erev. Cursed is the one who eats bread before nightfall. V'nikamti me'oivai, and therefore you will help me destroy my enemies, get back, take revenge from my enemy, from the Plishtim. V'lo ta'am kol ha'am lochem. And the entire nation that was with him did not eat. They did not eat bread based on this oath, based on this curse that Shaul HaMelech issued. Now, what was the purpose of this curse? So the Radak says that he was really afraid, almost like the Malbim insinuated, he was afraid that these soldiers would stop fighting. And he wanted to finish the job. He wanted to finish off the Plishtim. So he was afraid that they would stop. They were starving, right? They were starving. In fact, you know, according to the Radak, the Pasuk is not saying something new. It's not saying that Shaul did this right now. It's saying that Shaul had already done this. Shaul at the beginning made an oath that these soldiers were not allowed to eat anything. So these guys were starving because they couldn't eat anything the whole day because Shaul, you know, gave this oath. He didn't want them to stop fighting. He didn't want them to get distracted by their food. There's a Shaila in the Rishonim here in the Mefarshim when the Pasuk says, Arur ha'ish asher yochal lechem, was Shaul only talking about a real meal, like a seuda with bread, a real meal? Or was he prohibiting everything, even to taste something? So the Radak understands very clearly, as we'll see in a minute, from the rest of the story, that Shaul's oath really covered all food, that they weren't allowed to touch anything, they weren't allowed to taste anything. The Malbim says that, he says, I'm not quite sure exactly what what it was. Maybe it's just a meal, because he didn't want them to have to worry and get distracted by preparing the meal. You know, a meal takes a long time to prepare. It's not like a snack, you grab something and you go. So maybe that was his concern. He didn't want them to really have to prepare a meal. Or maybe he really wanted to decree a fast day. Like, just like in any Eis Tzara, says the Malbim, where Bnei Yisrael would fast and the soldiers would fast. So too here. He wanted Bnei Yisrael to fast and to do tshuva. So that's another possibility. Yeah.
Was it for everybody or just the warriors fighting?
So it seems only the warriors, or only the soldiers that were with him. Meaning the, you know, the people, the regular Stam Bnei Yisrael that were back in their homes. You know, we don't know that this, I don't think this applied to them. This is just something for the soldiers. So that's the Malbim. The Malbim himself says, he's not sure. But he says that it's clear that the soldiers were very machmir and they didn't even taste anything. Because that's what the Pasuk says at the end. Velo ta'am kol ha'am lachem. They didn't even taste. Nothing. Okay. Pasuk chafei. V'chol ha'aretz bo'u vayar v'yi devash al p'nei asodah. So now the soldiers come upon a forest. Okay, and on the spread across this forest, all over the fields of the forest, there's dvash. There's dvash. Okay, now what's dvash? Dvash is honey, right? So the Radak says, like Pashup Shat, that there were this was bee honey, right? There were bees all over the forest here, and there's honey. There was honey, you know, all over the field. Rashi understands, interestingly, that this is referring to sugar. And it, Rashi says, we're talking about sugar canes here. And there was sweet sugar, you know, maybe like, some sort of a sugary sap or a nectar that comes out of the sugar canes. But that's how Rashi understands it. Radak says, I don't know what Rashi's talking about. I'm not sure why he understands it that way. But that is how Rashi understands it. So either this is the Rashi's mahalach here that we're talking about sugar cane. The Radak and most of the other Mefarshim understand Kipshuto, like the simple understanding they were talking about bee honey. Okay? Now, even though this is not lechem, and even though this is not bread, but nevertheless we see that the soldiers don't touch. Pasuk Chavav, Vayavo Ha'am El Hayar. So the people, the soldiers come to this forest. Vihine Heilech Devash. The honey is oozing. It's just oozing out. The Ein Masig Yado El Piv, but not one soldier even does so much as taste this honey. Why? Ki Yare Ha'am Es Hashvua, because they're afraid. The king made an oath. He said that anyone who eats is going to be cursed. So they were afraid. They didn't even touch it. They didn't even touch it. And the Malbim points out here that number one, the honey's oozing. So it would not require any work. Not like they have to climb up in a tree and scoop out the honey. The honey's oozing everywhere. It would be easy. Number two, it's not even clear. It wasn't even clear to them if Shaul was saying that they should not eat anything. But they were very machmir. They knew that Shaul made the oath, and they were very machmir. They were very strict on themselves. They weren't even going to taste. Misafek, because of the doubt, they weren't even going to touch it. Pasuk Chav Zayin. V'Yonasan lo shama behashbia aviv'es ha'am. Yonasan never heard this. Because remember, Yonasan was in the Plishti camp. He was ahead of everybody else. So he did not hear his father when at the beginning of the battle, as the Mefarshim say, at the beginning of the battle, Shaul already made this oath. Yonasan didn't hear it. Vayishlach es ketzei hamate asher biyado. He takes the edge of the staff that's in his hand. Vayitbol osa biyaras hadvash. And he dips it into the yaras hadvash, which again, machlokes and magnum afarshim, either it means the cane or it means the honeycomb here. Vayoshev yado el piv vataorna einav. And he takes it, he tastes it with his mouth, and his eyes light up. His eyes light up. It's so delicious. Gives him such strength. As many of the Mefarshim, the Radak and others say, that you know his eyes were hungry. He was hungry, he was fatigued, he was tired. And this literally gave him a chiyus. It woke him up. Now the Malbim says, Yonasan was not really in the wrong here. I mean, even though he violated the oath of Shaul, he didn't know. So he's not really doing anything wrong. Number one, he didn't know about it. He didn't know about the oath. So whatever he did was really a shogeg. It was completely inadvertent. Number two, Yonasan only tasted. And says the Malbim, it wasn't clear to the soldiers if that was really usher. Right? They were not sure. Shaul had just said you can't eat lechem. So they weren't sure. Maybe Shaul meant you can't taste anything. Maybe Shaul meant you just can't have a meal. So number two, even though, you know, even though he was doing something wrong, maybe Shaul didn't really even mean to prohibit this. Number two. And number three, says the Malbim, is that when the Pasuk says Vata'orna Einav, it's more than just the Radak says that he, you know, he got a little extra chius, a little extra strength. Says the Malbim, Yonasan was sick. Yonasan was sick. You know, he was hungry. He hadn't eaten anything. He went into battle against the Plishtim. He was really sick. So says the Malbim that if a soldier's sick, he has a heter to eat, right? Even if the king made an oath that no one's allowed to eat, he's not talking about the sick soldiers. He's not talking about someone who's really sick. So Yonasan, number one, didn't know about it. Number two, he only tasted. Maybe Shaul never meant to prohibit that. And number three, you know, he was really sick from fasting. So he was allowed to. We don't know. It doesn't say that. It just says he tasted. Pasuk Chav Ches. But now the soldiers see what Yonasan just did. And they're afraid. So one of the soldiers pipes up and he says to Yonasan, you didn't hear, you didn't know about it, but your father took an oath and made us promise, made us swear, and said, "Arur ha'ish asher yochal lechem ayom," that cursed is the one who will eat bread today. And the people were tired. Right? The people were tired and weak. Okay? Now the Radak says what he means is that the people were tired and weak, and even though we were tired and weak, we did not violate this oath of your father. Says the Mitzvah David, no, we were tired and weak because of the oath. Right? Because of the oath, we hadn't eaten anything and we were very tired and weak. But the Malbim says that this guy is giving Yonasan Musar. And he's saying, Yonasan, even a taste is usar. Your father wanted us to do tshuva. He wanted us to fast. Right? So even a little bit of a taste is usar. It's not just that he didn't want us to be distracted, and he was worried about the time that it would take to prepare a meal. Then tasting would be fine because that will give you strength. But that's not what your father intended. Your father intended for us to fast. Your father intended for us to do tshuva. According to that, even a little taste is prohibited. Even a little taste is usur. Pasuk Chavtes, Vayomer Yonasan, Achar Avies Haaretz. So Yonasan shakes his head and he says, my father messed up. My father messed up. Achar means it was clouded. My father clouded the land. He clouded the perspective. You know, it's messed up. It's not the right thing. Ru'una ki oru einai ki to'amti ma'at dvash hazeh. Says Yonasan, see the strength that I got from just tasting this little bit of honey. Right? See what I got. Okay? So says the Malbim, Yonasan's responding. Yonasan is responding, number one, you're right, I didn't hear about this decree, but it's a bad idea. It's a terrible decree. I'm not sure why he did it. Number two, I was sick, as the Malbim says, and now I'm feeling better, so I had a heter to eat it anyway. And number three, he assumed that no, it must be that my father's intention was not to get distracted by the preparation of food. But he says he would have been better off by feeding them a little bit. Had they eaten a little bit, look at the strength that I got just from tasting. Had my father allowed the soldiers to taste a little bit, they would have done much better. Pasuk Lamed, Af kilo kilu achol achal hayom ha'am mishlal oivav. Asher matza ki ata lo rav samakob aplishtim. So says Yonasan, you know, they were able to eat the shalal. They could have eaten from the spoils. You know, the soldiers had food. There were provisions in the Plishti camp that the people could have eaten. Meaning you're worried about preparation. You're worried about preparing meals. There was something there that was very available, right? It wouldn't take a long time to prepare. And imagine the defeat that the soldiers could have brought upon the Plishtim had they eaten something, right? You see what they did to the Plishtim now. Imagine what they would have done to the Plishtim had they had the strength, had they eaten something, you know, had they had a little koach from feeling a snack. Look how rejuvenated I feel just because I ate a little something. Imagine had the soldiers eaten. Imagine what they could have done. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayaku bayom ahu baplishtim mi michmas ayalona vayoef ha'am me'od. So they chased them all the way from Michmas. Michmas, if you remember, was the place where the Plishtim originally camped, all the way to Ayalon, which was a very far distance. The Malbim says that was in the land of Shevet Dan, which was all the way to the west, close to the Plishti lands. They basically chased the Plishtim all the way home. But the people were very tired, right? The soldiers were very weak and they were very fatigued. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Now, what happens when soldiers are weak? What happens when soldiers are fatigued? Right? They sometimes make poor judgments. They make mistakes. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayaat. It's written Vayas, but it's pronounced. The Kriya is Vayaat. Vayaat Ha'om El HaShalom. So the people, the soldiers, now turn to the spoils of battle, to the spoils of war that they now took from the Plishti soldiers. They grab sheep and cattle, uvnei vakar, and the young cattle, which we'll talk about in a minute. And they shecht quickly. They shecht these animals. And they start eating. Literally, al hadam means upon the blood. Okay? Sorry? Oh, so let's see. So the implication of this pasuk is that they're doing something wrong, right? They're eating by yochal ha'om al hadam does not sound good. Now the question is, what are they doing wrong? So the mefarshim all struggle here to figure out exactly what they're doing wrong. So Rashi says, number one, pashup shat, the pasuk says that they took bakar uvnei bakar. So Rashi says the first thing they violated was a lo sase in the Torah called oso v'yespino lo sishchatu b'yom echad. The Torah says that you're not allowed to shecht an animal and its young on the same day, an animal and its child on the same day. So these soldiers were so starving and were eating and shechting in such haste, they weren't careful about this. So they grabbed the animal, they shechted it, they grabbed the kid and they shechted it. And now they're violating the Isra of Oso V'Espino. That's number one, says Rashi. Now Rashi says that according to Chazal understands here that these animals were actually hektish, right? That they made the animals hektish, you know, as a thanks to Hashem for the salvation that he brought them. They made them into shlamim. But the halacha is that when it comes to a shlamim, even though you're allowed to eat the meat from the korban, from the shlamim, but you have to wait until after the zrikas hadam. First, you have to do zrikas hadam. You have to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. Now, there was no mizbeach here. And that's what the pasuk says. Vayishchatu arza. They just shechted right there on the ground. There was no mizbeach here. But says Rashi that that's what Chazal say, that they made these animals into shlamim, into korbanos, which was good. But then they ate from them before the zrikas hadam, which was bad. And that's what the pasuk means at the end. Vayochal la'am al adam. They're eating before the zrikas hadam, so they're doing something wrong. They're doing something wrong. The Radak says also another interpretation is that maybe the blood was not draining well because they just shechted right on the ground and there was no place to leave the meat or to press the meat so that the blood would drain out. The blood was not draining properly, and they were eating meat that still had blood soaked in it that was not drained out properly. So, again, different interpretations exactly what the chait was, but certainly because of their hunger and their fatigue, they made poor judgments and they made poor decisions and they were chote. Pasuk lamed gimel, vayagidu la sha'ol emor. So, you know, I guess some of the goody two shoes run over to Shaul and they tell him what's going on. And they tell him what the soldiers are doing. That these people, though the soldiers are sinning, they're eating al hadam, again, whatever that means, according to the different interpretations that we mentioned in the last pasuk. So Shaul says, you guys are traitors, meaning, who gave you this victory? Vayosha Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, gave you this victory. Don't turn your back on him. Don't betray him. You have to do what's right. Golu Eli Hayom Evan Gedola. Roll a big stone over to me right now. So again, some of the Mefarshim understand he wanted a big stone because he wanted to make a mizbeach so that he could do the zrikas hadam and allow them to eat from the meat of the shlamim. The Radak says he wanted a big stone because they would shecht on the stone and the stone would help them press the meat and allow the blood to drain properly. That's how the Radak understands. Sorry? Well, he's allowing them to eat, but he says you got to do it in the right way. You got to do the zrikas hadam, or you have to let the blood drain out, whatever the case is. Pasuk lamed dalid, vayomer Shaul, putzu va'am, putzu, I'm sorry, putzu va'am. So Shaul says to his messengers and his servants, go spread out among the soldiers, va'amartem lohem, and tell them, hagishu elai ish shoro, v'ish seyehu, you know, tell everyone to bring me their ox, bring me their sheep, ushchatetem bazeh, and shecht with this. So some say, Rashi says, either shecht right here, right? Shecht right here, and now I have a mizbeach here, I'll do the zrikas hadam. Another interpretation Rashi brings is that he had a shechita knife, and he actually checked the chalif, he checked the shechita knife for them, and he said, here, ushchatetem bazeh, let's do the shechita properly. Right, let's follow the halacha. Let's do it properly. And you can eat properly, and you won't sin to be eating al adam. So they all came with their ox, and they shechted it there. Pasuk lamed hey, vayiven shaul mizbeach laHashem, also heichel livnos mizbeach laHashem. And Shaul builds a mizbeach for Hashem, and he was the first one to build a mizbeach to Hashem. And this is obviously a very strange thing. What do you mean he's the first one, right? You know, many people built mizbechos in the past. So Rashi says no, it just means this was the first mizbeach that Shaul had built. The Radak says this was the first mizbeach built by a king. Until now, we had Nevi'im built mizbechos and other tzaddikim built mizbechos, but there was no mizbeach that had been built by a king. This was the first one. He took this big stone that they had brought and he used that as the foundation stone of the Mizbeach. But the lesson, I think, clearly at the end here, and this is really what Yonasan points out, is that Shaul had a good intention here, right? By making this oath and this curse that the people shouldn't eat, Shaul was well-intentioned. But the problem is, you have to be chachamein of Barosha. You have to look ahead and anticipate what's going to happen. And what ended up happening was that as much as he wanted them to fast and do tshuva, but it caused them to just make mistakes and make errors later and eat too quickly, eat before the Zrikas Hadam, not allow the blood to drain properly, whatever the case was. But a king, and this was the, you know, Yonasan's Musar to his father, is that you messed up. You didn't think this through clearly. Your vision is clouded. And even though you were well-intentioned and you thought you were doing something good, but you have to be careful because you have to think down the line what's going to happen. And sometimes people make bigger mistakes when you make decisions like this, even though you're well-intentioned. So that was the Musar a little bit that Shaul did something wrong here. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. And Amir Tzah Hashem, next week, we will try to finish this parak and move on in the story of Shaul.
Thank you, Rabbi.